My first guest in this edition is California Congressman Brian Bilbray, a Republican representing the Golden State's 50th Congressional District. We've asked him to offer his thoughts as members return for what's known as a lame duck session of Congress in order to deal with the ongoing economic crisis affecting this country. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm honored to be with you.
Obviously, you had a bunch of activity right before you had to go back to your districts and campaign for re-election with the $700 billion bailout package. What's your assessment, first of all, the Treasury Secretary this week saying that money's being allocated more for purchasing equity in banks than buying up the troubled assets, which was the original plan?
Well, I mean, for some of us, it was a frustration of being told that we had to approve this project within a few days rather than looking at the entire package. And now, basically, the administration and the experts have come to the conclusion that maybe they didn't have it right and maybe they need to change policy. It's very frustrating with them, but I just have to just say it would have been more frustrating if they would have continued on a program that they felt wasn't viable. So it's been a very frustrating process watching Washington give away taxpayers' money.
Do you have confidence in the Treasury right now?
No, I have no confidence at all with the either strategy. But the fact is, I think that it's just too easy for those of us in Washington to vote to allocate funds without reforming the system that creates a lot of the problem. I mean, there was an accounting process called mark-to-market, which was created after the Enron problem that had a counter impact, and we need to straighten that out. We won't straighten that out. There's a whole lot of reforms we ought to be doing, we're basically, that's much heavier lifting than just okaying spending the money, but sadly, that's what we should be doing first, not last.
So, of course, you have the $700 billion plus in the bailout plan. There's the ongoing assistance to AIG, the money spent to shore up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, of course, there's talk of a second economic stimulus package sometime before the end of this Congress. What's your sense on whether that's necessary? And if so, what should be in it?
Oh, I think that we just got to really take pause that since March, we've committed over $1.3 trillion of taxpayers' money. And again, I don't see us doing the real reforms that should be going first. So I think that this whole thing of the a financial stimulus package that basically knows how to spend money but not how to reallocate priorities is going to be a big problem. I don't feel comfortable with it. You know, I was a mayor and a chairman of a county of 3 million, and as a in a city or a county, you never would operate this way. And the voters, I think, are rightfully very skeptical of us keep writing rubber checks, but not willing to do the heavy lifting.
What'd you hear from your constituents throughout this process? You mentioned this has been going on for a number of months, certainly intensifying over the past couple of months. What did they tell you over the past few weeks?
Well, look, my biggest thing was that even the business people that supported it felt that we didn't do it the right way. If we were going to allocate funds, we have to do some of these systemic changes. But overwhelmingly, my constituency is saying that they didn't support either the administration or the Democrats' proposal on this issue. And frankly, I think I got reelected in no little part by being willing to stand up and say, no, we're not going to vote to just write this administration or the next administration a blank check. And the constituency seemed to respond to that pretty strongly.
Take us inside the original bailout plan several weeks ago, and of course, at first it did not pass. Then after some changes made before the Senate took it up, it eventually passed both chambers. How did you vote on it then, and what was the explanation given by your leadership for why this was a good idea?
Well, one of the first ones is the fact that it was so such a crisis, we had to vote then. We didn't have time to fine-tune it or do some of the reforms, And then we took a two-day break off for a religious holiday, and then came back and was told we have to vote again on Friday when we still had all weekend we could have worked on it. But it was mostly the take-it-or-leave-it attitude. And I think that, you know, when we vote in Congress, we should be voting as if it's our own money, because it is our grandchildren's money we're talking about. I'm like you. Somebody says, you either take it or leave it. Usually I walk away from it. I just think that it got so intimidating that everybody was worried about looking like they were obstructionists rather than being willing to stand up and say, whoa, let's do it, but let's do it the right way.
Given what we know now, that of course at that time folks were saying literally if this isn't done within days, the economy could be in shambles. Now we know that the money's been reallocated to a large extent. In terms of another package, we're hearing about the dire situation in the auto industry, and if something's not done before the change in administration and possibly even the new Congress, that industry is going to collapse. So what do you make of the urgency being stressed on that particular front?
Sure looks like the pigs are running to the trough. We're not just talking auto industry now. We're talking that the credit card people are going to want to be bailed out too. And there's a real concern here that if we're going to save the auto industry, there needs to be some major changes. Everything from what the executives are getting to the health care benefits that the assembly line people are getting before you're going to save the system. You can't just try to buy your way out of it. And, you know, Washington, again, is trying that same tactic. And I think it's kind of unfair to take money away from taxpayers to give it to industries where the employees have a better health care system than what the citizens have. If I'm sure a lot of them are saying if you want to subsidize these great health packages and retirement packages, then spread it out across all Americans. Don't pick or choose a few of them that may work in Detroit.
President-elect Obama, of course, has said he is strongly in favor of both assisting the auto industry as well as passing a second economic stimulus package. He says if it's not done before he's president, it'll be one of the first things he tries to accomplish as president. You mentioned, obviously, your great reservations with giving any more sort of bailout money or any sort of huge dollar amount for an economic stimulus package. At the same time, given where the breakdowns are in the majorities in the House and Senate, and having President Bush being able to veto or shape this legislation a little bit in the next few weeks, if it's going to happen, would it be better to happen before the Democrats get larger majorities?
Not necessarily. I think that that kind of partisan attitude is counterproductive. I think we just got to understand that we need to, as Democrats and Republicans, but most importantly as Americans, start delivering something that we can be proud of, not just to the constituencies in the next election, but something that our grandchildren can live with. And I think there's a major question here. How big a footprint do you want the federal government to have on American society? How much, you know, territory do you want Washington, D.C. to cover? And believe me, the credit card companies, the auto industry is not the end of it. You're going to see states lining up with their hat in hand wanting Washington, D.C. to be a major source of funding for states now. And now you're really changing the entire relationship between the individual, the local community, the state, and the federal government. And the federal government's just growing so huge. And I think we all agree that the federal government's the least efficient of all of those components, and that it is larger than anybody ever dreamed, especially our founding fathers. And this is something we need to be concerned about. How big a federal footprint do you want on the American society, and how much do you want Washington controlling your life? And I think that's a big concern.
A couple minutes left in our conversation with California Representative Brian Bilbray. He represents the southern district in the state. And Congressman, obviously you've expressed very well your reluctance to go along with any more big government intervention here in any sort of way. What do you believe is a better approach? Sit back and let the market forces work for themselves, move in a more free market way with targeted tax cuts and that sort of thing? What's your prescription for where we are right now?
Well, I think one thing we need to do is that we need to go back and reform issues like mark the market, which was the accounting system that basically was was flawed. It was a regulation that wasn't designed right. We need to correct it. You know, I'm not opposed to appropriate regulations. It's just they need to be smart. And this isn't a regulation that meant to take care of Enron. It actually hurt the real estate market and the entire financial markets. I think that there's a half a trillion dollars of American money overseas that could come back into the American market and actually be much more cost-effective if we allowed it into the market. But right now, we're too busy worrying about we want to take half of that money in taxes if they bring it back. Now, you and I know that that American money overseas isn't ever coming back as long as they think that we're going to be, you know, taking half of it in federal taxes. We should say that if they bring it back in and put it back into the market right now, we'll hold them harmless. I'd much rather see private money going in to save the private sector than federal money to do that. Because, I mean, what's the difference between where the taxpayer gets hit on this? And this is the kind of smart things we ought to be doing and trying to address that. It's just tough that we'd want just for another 10% of tax, we would forego having a half a trillion dollars worth of U.S. capital back into a market where it can help our neighborhoods.
Congressman, in our last 30 seconds here, do you sense momentum inside the Republican conference towards where you stand right now and the best way to address this, or is it still a work in progress?
No, I would have to say that I'm speaking for myself, but I have to assume that a whole lot of members, both Republicans and Democrats, heard a whole earful of their citizens, their constituencies this last few weeks during the election. And I think you're going to find some real concern about how much of the taxpayers' money is going to be committed between now and the next few months, because I think a lot of us heard some very upset taxpayers saying, when are you guys going to start doing the heavy lifting and quit giving our grandchildren's money away?
Congressman, thank you so much for your time today. We'll certainly keep track of the debate here in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
California Congressman Brian Bilbray represents his state's 50th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.